Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessy Bussel-Novik, and today we are studying Micha Perek Bet, the second chapter of the Book of Micah. The first parak, you may remember, provided a setting for Sefer Micha, where he was from, when he prophesied, and whom he addressed. We mentioned that his prophecies overlapped with those of his three contemporaries, Hosea, Isaiah, and Amos, Hoshea, Yeshayahu, and Amos. In Micha's day, both of Bnei Israel's kingdoms were facing exile. First to be banished would be Malchut Yisrael, the 10 tribes who lived in northern Israel, with Shomron, Samaria, as their capital. Its leadership was unstable, and the government was in a constant state of coup d'etat. This was not the case with Israel's southern 2-tribe kingdom of Judea, Malchut Yehuda, with Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, as its capital. Malchut Yehuda, which continued the Davidic dynasty and where peaceful succession to the throne was the norm. Moreover, the heart and soul of Malchut Yehuda was the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, which fostered both spiritual and political unity among the population. Nonetheless, the people of Yehuda had begun to take on the vile ways of Malchut Yisrael. And as Micha foretold, Yerushalayim would suffer a fate similar to that of Shomron. Namely, it would be razed to the ground, its people exiled, unless they mended their ways. Spoiler alert, they didn't. As in the previous chapter, Micha rebukes his audience. You may recall that in chapter 1, he laid blame for the people's sins squarely in the laps of their leaders. This theme continues in today's perek. However, in perek bet, Micha focuses on sins ben adam l'chavero, sins between the people and their peers, sins such as theft, lust, and victimization, sins that one might say are alive and well, or perhaps alive and unwell, in 2020. Chapter 2 consists of 13 verses, which may be grouped as follows. Psukim Aleph and Bet, verses 1 and 2, wherein the prophet describes the leader's commission of these sins. Psukim Gimel through Hay, verses 5 through 8, which foretell the punishment Bnei Israel will suffer at the hand of the enemy. Psukim Vav and Zayin, verses 6 and 7, which address those who contradict the prophets of Hashem. Psukim Chet through Yud, verses 8 through 10, which describe the leader's plundering. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, in which the Navi scorns the false prophets of his day. Finally, the Navi consoles the people in Psukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, verses 12 and 13. Now, the Gemara reports in Masechet Megillah 14a that throughout Tkufat Hanviim, the era of prophecy, a period of 4 centuries, hundreds of thousands of individuals experienced prophetic visions. However, the Tanakh mentions by name only 48 men and 7 women who were Nevi'im. Why? I was hoping you'd ask. Chazal, our sages, tell us that the only Nevu'ah that was recorded in Tanakh was Nevu'ah Shutzlecha L'dorot, prophecy that was needed for all generations. And so, if upon hearing Micha's remonstrations you find yourself thinking that he seems to be on the cutting edge of today's news, well, gentle listener, reflection is a good thing. Now, as we turn to the text, please remember that I choose to translate with an eye and ear towards pshat, that is, the simple meaning of the text. When the simple meaning of a text is not obvious, I may offer an alternate explanation, but in the interest of time, I do not intend to offer more than one alternative interpretation in any pasuk. Let us begin with psukim 1 and 2, Aleph and Bet. Oy, choshvei avenu fo aleira al mishkevotam, b'or haboker ya'asuha. Ki yesh le'el yadam. V'chamdu sadot v'gazalu, uvatim v'nasau, v'ashku gever uveito v'ish v'nachlato. A general comment about the interjection hoy, as it may be interpreted as a shout-out, like yuhu, or as a sigh. We know sighs take on many meanings. In this context, I believe that Micha's sigh is one of scorn and disgust. Those who contemplate wickedness and form evil plans while they lie in their beds. Come the morning's light, they will implement these plans. Because they can. Verse 2. Should they lust after fields, they will steal them. Should they lust after homes, they will appropriate them. They will victimize ish uveto, a man and his household. Likewise, adam v'nachlato, a person and his ancestral portion of Eretz Yisrael. Micha describes a corrupt, caste-driven society wherein the privileged are free to exploit the lower classes with no fear of reprisal. If you will indulge me, this description calls to mind today's litigious society, wherein individuals of means and or power, when faced with an accusation, are likely to respond not with denial, but by saying, "You can't prove that." People of means and or power are confident that they can buy a favorable verdict. The more things change. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Lachen, ko amar Hashem, hineni choshev al hamishpacha hazot ra'a, asher lo tamishu misham safrotechem, v'lo telchu roma, ki et ra'a hi. Thus says Hashem, behold, I am contemplating a terrible fate that will befall this mishpacha, that is, these plotters of evil, a fate from which they will be unable to extricate their necks. And you will no longer walk heads held high, for this shall be a time of evil. Now, let's do a closer reading. Note Micha's use of parallel language. In the first pasuk, he refers to members of the upper class as choshvei aven ufoalei ra, those who contemplate wickedness and implement evil. In pasuk Gimel, the Navi says, citing Hashem, behold, I am contemplating an evil fate that will be implemented upon that family. This is an example of Hashem's conduct of midah keneged midah, measure for measure. Midah keneged midah is qualitative as well as quantitative. That is, the punishment suits the crime. Now, let us turn to the mashal, the metaphor that Micha cites. Israel, as you recall, was an agrarian society, which is why prophets often chose analogies that would resonate with their rural audiences. Micha compares the wicked leaders to yoked oxen that plow the field. When the time for retribution arrives, the burden of suffering will fall most heavily upon these evil leaders, and they will not be able to release their necks from the yoke. Moreover, once released, they will no longer be able to stand erect, their heads held high. Instead, they will become stooped, physically, emotionally, and politically. These verses also contain examples of lashon nofel al lashon, assonance and consonants. In pasuk Gimel, we find the shin sound repeating, as well as the resh, v'lo telchu roma, ki et ra'ahi. As we mentioned last time, every Navi has his own distinctive style of speech. Bear in mind, however, that not every eloquent speaker is a Navi. Pasuk Dalet, 4. Bayom hahu yisa alechem mashal, v'naha nihi nihiya. Amar, shadod nishadunu, chelek ami yamir, ech yamishli, l'shovev sadenu yichalek. On that day, a song, that is an elegy, will be composed about you. A great keening will take place. The mourners saying, we have been ransacked. Our family's estate has been reassigned to others. How is it that the enemy has uprooted me permanently? The land that I expected to reclaim is now being divided among its plunderers. The term mashal, which we associate with metaphors and parables, may also refer to a song, in this case, a dirge. Such songs, which proliferated among the people, often served as a means of communication from town to town. Let's look at the phrase v'naha nihi nihiya in verse 4, an exceptionally fine example of lashon nofel al lashon. You may recall the Haftarah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, refers to the weeping of Rachel Imenu as nehi b'chi tamrurim, that is, an inordinately bitter keening. We have the noun nehi in both masculine and feminine forms, naha nehi, which, according to Radak, indicates that these lamentations will be boundless. Now, the verb nehiyah is a passive form of the verb hoyah, exists, is. So our phrase signifies that extraordinary keening will be heard among Bnei Israel when they are conquered. Verse 5, Pasuk Hei, Lachen lo yiyye lecha mashlichevel begoral b'kahal Hashem. None of Klal Yisrael will have a say in the distribution of the plot of land that has been their portion from the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus. In verses 6 and 7, Micha, who has suffered at the hands of those false prophets who tried to silence him, says, Pasuk Vav, Yatifu Yitifun, Lo Yatifu Le'ele, Lo Yisa Klimot. They say, do not allow words to fall from your tongue, and I tell myself, if I do not preach to these people, I will not suffer shame. Why not just quit this gig? This, however, is not as easy as it sounds. Remember what happened to Yonah? Pasuk Zayin, 7. The speaker shifts. Hashem now addresses those who indignantly declare that God has punished them too hastily. Ha'amur bet Yaakov? Ha'katsar ruach Hashem? Im elam alav? Halo dvarai yetivu? Im hayashar holeich? Is this indeed what is said among you descendants of Yaakov? Do you really consider God short-tempered? Are these Hashem's way? God continues, is it not so that my ways are beneficent to those who are honest? Hashem does not rush to bring Chorban, desolation, upon Bnei Israel. In verses 8 through 10, the Navi speaks in detail about the crime that is rampant. In the interest of time, I will do some summarizing. Micha accuses the leaders of rising against God's agents, the Nevi'im, and stripping them of their mantles of glory. These gangsters assault innocent people, people who walk securely along the road like a soldier returning victorious from war. The soldier has neither weapons nor money, and yet he is attacked. These predators also rob men of their wives and children of their mothers. They chase wives from their homes so as to victimize these women. Not only do the sinners not fear God, but they also have no compassion for the smallest and most defenseless of his creation, tiny suckling infants. And so, in Pasuk Yud 10, Hashem hands them their walking papers. Kumo ulechu, ki lo zot ha-menucha, ba'avur tam'a t'chabel, v'chevel nimratz. Arise and leave the land, for you have no right to rest securely in the portion I, God, have bequeathed to you for comfort as your rightful legacy. Because the land has been defiled, it will now suffer chevelei leida, the pangs of labor. This shall be an intense, violent assault. We will encounter the comparison of suffering at the hands of the enemy to the pangs of a laboring woman again in our study of Micha. The word chevel, cord, which was used in verse 5 to connote surveyor's ropes, is also used to connote the pangs of childbirth. Note, too, that in modern Hebrew, mechabel is the word for terrorist. Daf Mikra extends the analogy by mentioning that just as a woman in labor eventually expels a baby from her body, so too will Bnei Israel, after much suffering, be expelled from their laboring land. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, decries the Nevi'e HaShekel, false prophets who were, one might say, prophets for profit. These are not soothsayers, speakers of truth. They are soothsayers. Rather than offer the people much-needed guidance, they soothe their patrons with false promises of peace. The populace spurns Micha because he is not afraid to deliver unpleasant news that has come to him from Hashem. But when it comes to the false prophets, Yud Aleph 11, Lu ish holech ruach v'sheker kizev, atif lecha l'yayin l'shechar, hayam atif ha'am hazeh. If a man who follows the wind, that is one whose visions are without import, one who falsifies and is fraudulent, offers to prophesy in exchange for a gift of wine and hard liquor, that man will be accepted as a preacher before the nation. Micha closes his prophecy with words of comfort, perhaps to temper the blow of the future he has forecast. As Adat Sofrim points out in Sefer Hosea, if an Avi speaks only rebuke, he will be dismissed as a curmudgeon, and no one will pay him any mind. Psukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel 12 and 13. I will summarize the rest of the chapter, verses 12 and 13. Hashem promises to return his people as a single nation, and with the tenderness of a shepherd, he will bring them to their hometowns. He will shield Bnei Israel. He will expand and fortify their cities. The towns will roar with the sound of the many people within. And then, just as a ram will break through the barriers that confine his flock, so too a new king of Bnei Israel will break through the walls that surround the cities of Israel. That is, not only will the population expand, but also, thanks to Hashem's providence, the nations will no longer need walls for protection. Micha completes this vision by announcing that this new king shall pass before the children of Israel, and Hashem, the authentic king, will go before them all. May we see this come true, b'mehera b'yameinu, speedily, in our own days. Until next time, thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.